Jill asked in the voice reserved for her patients. I found it in Poppy's room under the mattress, Tessa told her. I don't know if it's... I'm not sure what to make of it. It certainly appears to be Poppy's style.
Today? You're telling me you found this just now?
Jill asked, surprise sending her voice up a notch.
This wasn't something packed away?
Tessa shook her head. No. I haven't been in the girls' room since that awful day. I would swear they have not been touched. Piper's bed is still unmade. It's exactly as it was the day I left. It's like going back in time.
Before I say anything, can I look in their rooms?
Of course. Let's go, Tessa said.
No. You wait here. Do you mind if I take the picture with me?
Jill asked. Sure. Why can't I come with you?
It's a professional thing. I want to see their rooms with no outside influence, and you have already told me more than I need to know. I'll just be a few minutes. Why don't you make us another cup of coffee? I run on caffeine.
Sounds like you're dismissing me, but I get it. Go on, but don't let Sam or any of those... Tessa nodded toward the front door. Nosy-ass reporters get a glimpse of you. The window coverings are gone, and those long-range lenses they have now can see the hair in your nose.
Jill nodded, then carefully tucked the piece of paper inside her bag. No one would dare look inside this, she said, holding up one of the largest tote bags Tessa had ever seen. It's practically a weapon in itself.
Hurry, Tessa said. You know the way.
Why don't you sit down in the living room? I'll just be a few minutes, Jill said as she headed toward the staircase.
Tessa made another cup of coffee for herself, then went into the living room and sat down on one of the leather chairs. Her thoughts returned to the past. Joel adored their daughters, though he didn't spend as much time with them as she had due to his hectic work schedule. But their time spent together was happy and fun. Tessa was the disciplinarian when discipline was needed, which wasn't too often because the girls were well-behaved. Not perfect, but they understood what their role in the family was. They weren't spoiled rotten as some of the children attending St. Cecilia's had been. They had chores and obligations to the family. Yes, Rosa had taken care of their home, but both girls were required to make their beds daily, keep their bedrooms tidy, and at dinner time they helped with the dishes. They were smart and funny, and Tessa had never experienced anything even close to the love that she felt for them. Even Joel. She had loved him, but her feelings toward him were simply not as pure and intense as her love for her girls. Joel rarely, if ever, had reprimanded them. His time with them was mostly without incident.
Tessa, Jill said, we need to talk.
Those were the words she had dreaded since calling Jill. She nodded. I suppose I can't get out of this?
No, you can't,
Jill replied, her tone serious.
Chapter 14
So, Tessa said when Jill sat down at the bar.
I didn't find anything unusual. The rooms are the same, but their personal items are gone. Someone had to pack them away. Do you know who, and if so, where they are?
I'm not sure, she replied. Had Sam packed their things himself?
I'd like to find out, Jill said. Basically, except for the linens, the rooms are empty. I didn't see anything unusual there.
Tessa breathed a sigh of relief. What about the sketch?
It's been ripped from a sketchbook. No doubts there. I'd like to see if we can locate it. One drawing, while it might indicate Poppy was angry at Joel, or a man, And that's a far overreaching educated guess. I wouldn't want to make a judgment without thoroughly searching through Poppy's sketchbooks.
Why didn't I think of that?
I'm not sure, but I can ask, Tessa said.
Jill was right.
The rooms were empty other than bedclothes, and that wasn't so unusual. She had remembered the rooms as they'd been when the girls were still alive. Gone were all the knick-knacks, posters, all the paraphernalia that made up a 10-year-old's bedroom.
Why didn't I see that?
I thought they were exactly as they looked the day I left, she explained.
A trick of the mind, Tessa. It's what you wanted to see. The mind is a miraculous machine.
Did this explain the strawberry scent? The indentation on the pillow? Had her mind been playing tricks on her?
Her refusal to accept the obvious, even though it had been a decade ago?
I'll find Sam and ask him, she said. I know that he packed up what was in Joel's office, but I'm not sure who packed up the stuff from the house.
She had just assumed Sam had. Now, in reality, it seemed rather juvenile for her to have thought so. As CEO of a major pharmaceutical company, when would he have had the time to pack up their possessions?
I'll wait here, Jill said.
I'll go find Sam, Tessa said, walking into the kitchen.
Since he was most likely outside with Harry's forensic team, and she did not want to leave the protection of the house, as the media remained at the entrance to the gated community, just waiting like a pack of hungry wolves ready to snatch the first bite of her if she emerged, she dialed his cell phone number, which he had scribbled on a pad next to the telephone, and stood by the glass doors. He answered on the second ring.
Sam, it's me. I need to see you inside. It's important, she said. Then saw Sam as he walked toward the house.
2 seconds, he said, then hung up.
When he opened the door, he placed an arm around her.
Are you okay?
I'll never be okay, Sam. You of all people should know that. However, I have someone here who wants to speak to you. She turned toward the living room. Jill was sitting where she had left her, with the drawing spread out in front of her. When she saw Sam, she flipped the sketch so that only a blank piece of paper showed.
It's okay, Jill, Tessa said when she saw her flip the paper over. Tessa introduced them, surprised that their paths had not crossed during the investigation.
Jill wants to see some of Poppy's sketchbooks. Do you know who packed them and where we can find them?
It's important, Tessa said.
Show him the drawing, she said to Jill.
Jill turned the paper over and handed it to Sam. Sam held it toward the window, studied it, then returned it to Jill.
What does this mean?
I don't know just yet. That's why I need to see her other drawings, Jill explained.
Sure, that's reasonable. I'm sure the boxes are in the master bedroom. I packed up Joel's office, but hired professionals to pack the personal possessions from the house, Sam explained. Between the three of us, we should be able to find the girls' belongings, the things that were in their rooms.
Tessa heard the hesitation in his voice. Sam had known the girls, too. How could she have forgotten that? It was bound to be stressful for him, or at least she thought so.
What about Lee? Tessa asked when she remembered that he was coming over this afternoon.
We can start now and take a break when he arrives.
She nodded. Jill, do you mind?
No. I cleared my schedule for the rest of the day. I want to help in any way that I can.
Am I ready for this?
She had barely been out of prison 24 hours, and things seemed to be moving too fast. That was good, maybe. Her life had been so regimented, so routine for so long. It was going to take her a while to get used to the world outside.
Then let's get started, she said, knowing there was no reason to put this off. The drawing had brought back so many memories of the girls seated at the kitchen table, drawing while she made dinner, talking about colors, why they were named the way they were. Poppy always had an explanation, and this would send them off into other topics of conversation. Tessa always felt so proud of them. They were smart, insightful, open to learning. She had enjoyed these times so much. Tears spilled over, and she didn't bother trying to stop them. Cleansing, she thought, as she braced herself for the task ahead of them.
Tessa, if you don't want to do this, don't, Jill said when she saw her crying.
She shook her head, then took a tissue and wiped her tears. I need to. I just need to do this. I'm fortunate to have this opportunity. I need to take advantage of it. She knew it would hurt, but avoiding the memories wasn't beneficial to her or her future.
Let's get started, Sam said. Who knows what we'll find?
Tessa agreed, but still couldn't keep from feeling frightened at what they might discover. She picked up their coffee cups, went into the kitchen, and rinsed the cups and placed them next to the fancy coffee machine. Returning to the living room, she announced, I'm ready. Sam led the way as they headed upstairs. Tessa took another deep breath, hoping to calm her nerves. She had practiced deep breathing over the years and learned to calm herself. In prison, it seemed fairly easy. Now, in the outside world, not so much. She flinched when Sam touched her arm.
Hey, if you don't want to do this, don't, Sam said. Jill and I can handle it, right?
He looked to Jill for confirmation.
Absolutely.
No, I need to do this. For myself and my daughters. She motioned for Sam to open the door to the master bedroom. Inside, stacked against the wall opposite the doorway, were dozens of boxes. Tessa scanned them for some kind of writing but saw nothing. They're not marked, she said to Sam. He pulled a few boxes away from the wall, then turned them around so that she could see.
The markings were just facing the wall.
Clearly, the boxes were marked. Why wouldn't they stack them where they could be identified? Though honestly, she realized it had not mattered as she had been locked away for life, and other than Lara, there was no family to claim them. And she doubted that her sister would have taken the time to sort through them, even if she thought there might be something worth pawning. I see, she said. Then let's start with Poppy's room. Maybe I can find her sketchbooks. 5 minutes later, Sam had both boxes from the girls' rooms moved to the center of the master bedroom.
How do you want to do this?
We can each open one box. If we find Poppy's sketchbooks... She turned to Jill.
I'll have a look at them and we'll go from there, Jill said.
Sam pushed a large box in front of her, another for Jill and one for him. Stalling for a few seconds, Tessa easily ripped the dried-out packing tape from the box. Inside, she saw stacks of clothes. Tears filled her eyes and trickled down her face like two silvery canals. A deep breath. I can do this. I owe it to Poppy and Piper. A Harry Potter shirt that she remembered buying, knowing there had to be a matching one in Piper's things, as both were Potter addicts. She went through the rest of the clothing, deciding she would donate most of it, minus the Harry Potter shirts. Going on to a second box, she was surprised to find the sketchbooks. She had not thought it would be so easy. Here they are, she said. It appears as though they're all in this box.
Tessa. Why don't you let me go through them first? I know this is hard.
No, I'm okay, she said, and used the sleeve of her sweatshirt to blot her tears. It's not all bad, she explained.
Then let's start looking through them, Jill said.
Grabbing several spiral sketchbooks between them, they flipped through the pages.
This might be something, Sam said, handing the sketchbook to Jill.
Okay, let me see what you have found, Jill replied. She took her time as she perused the pages, thumbing back and forth, then closing the book. Sighing, she spoke.
It may be.
Jill stopped and seemed to be deliberating.
Tessa, did the girls,
Poppy in particular, resent Joel or men, Liam in this case, in any way?
She thought about it, but could not remember a time when Poppy or Piper had any issue with their dad, or any man, at least nothing out of the ordinary. Joel worked long hours, and Tessa knew the girls were closer to her than they were to Joel, but that's how it worked in their family. I don't believe either had any reason to feel anything but love for their father. The only men they were around were Joel and Liam, and, of course, teachers and such at school. I'm sure neither had any issues with men. They were quite open with me. I'm sure if there was a problem, they would have come to me.
Then why keep Liam's abuse to themselves? Jill questioned.
Fear? He told them he would kill them and their family if they told. I'm not a psychiatrist, but I'm sure they took him at his word. Can you imagine how frightened they must have been?
Tessa felt her heart rate increase as it always did when she spoke of this.
Maybe they were simply too scared to tell. It's such a leap of faith to me, as I'm sure it was to them, that their uncle would even consider touching them inappropriately. This still didn't justify her surmise. She had not known her daughter's innermost secrets, and not knowing sooner might have cost them their lives. Jill draped both arms around Tessa's shoulders.
Don't blame yourself.
Actually, it's quite common for victims to protect their abusers. Statistically, 8 out of 10 children know their abusers, and more often than not, it's a trusted family member or a friend.
The girls were afraid.
I know this for a fact.
They truly believed Liam would harm them, you, and Joel. Those were certainly not their exact words, but I understood what they were telling me.
Let me see the sketchbook, Tessa stated. Jill held the book against her chest.
Are you sure you want to see this? They're very disturbing.
Of course! Good grief, Jill, if there is something in Poppy's art that... I don't know, just let me see the damn thing.
Tessa held her hand out, palm up.
Jill closed the sketchbook, then handed it to Tessa. Tessa's hands shook as she flipped open the cover on the book. One by one, she viewed Poppy's drawings, her mouth agape. She tossed the sketchbook back to Jill.
I don't know what to say. This is horrifying.
Tessa wanted to kill Liam, the son of a bitch. How could this have happened without her knowing? And when? Where? She had spent 10 years in prison trying to recall when the girls were alone with Liam. There had been a few occasions when they'd had him over to the house for dinner, and of course then he wouldn't have been completely alone with them. But they had dinner parties with Liam and dozens of acquaintances. With her acting as hostess while Joel mingled, there was plenty of opportunity for him to spend alone time with them. In their rooms, possibly the pool house. She couldn't wrap her head around the situation. Both girls, on different occasions. According to Jill, neither one had told the other what was happening until the morning Poppy said something about it to Tessa. Tessa couldn't begin to fathom how this could have gone on in their home without her knowing about it. Breaking the silence, Sam said,
"It's not pretty."
Tessa nodded. "No. I wish I would have..." Well, I hadn't the faintest idea. The fight had gone out of her, and she plopped down on one of the unopened boxes. She looked up at Jill. "What's your professional take on the drawings?" Drawings of adult male penises with a knife slashed through them. Another of a little girl with a single giant blood-red tear streaming down her face. It was a face Tessa did not recognize.
"Whoever drew these pictures was definitely sexually abused," Jill stated flatly. "Of course we know it was Poppy. What the drawing indicates to me, the emphasis on the desire to mutilate the genitals, and Poppy's artistic abilities are excellent, is that she wanted to reveal the abuse but was fearful. Possibly she hoped you would find her sketchbooks and open the door for her to tell. Their behavior, keeping their lights on at night, wanting to go back to sharing a room, crankiness, all are clearly indicative that something was not right. Of course, I knew the girls, but I wasn't aware of this until you told me." Jill sighed. "Of course, I asked them questions, gentle questions. I didn't want them to be fearful in any way. They both said the touching hurt. I reviewed the medical examiner's reports, and I remember reading..." She stopped, closed her eyes, then opened them, tears brimming in her brown eyes. Tessa nodded, remembering the horrifying details from the medical examiner's testimony.
"Son of a bitch," Sam muttered. "I'd like to get my hands on that low-life bastard."
Again, Tessa nodded. Feeling empty and bereft, she wanted to scream, to run through the streets, asking why. Why my girls? Why? They were innocent little children. Thinking of the fear they'd suffered enraged her. But now, with this new revelation, Poppy's drawings, the wall Tessa had built around her emotions came crashing down. "What kind of mother am I? How could I not have known?" Her eyes filled with tears, and she let them flow freely. Jill stood behind her, rubbing her shoulders.
"Let's go downstairs," Sam said.
Tessa stood and followed Sam and Jill downstairs. She wasn't sure what to say. The pictures pretty much said it all, she thought, as she trailed behind.
"I'll make us some iced tea," Sam told her.
"Thanks," Tessa said, then focused her attention on Jill. "I wish I had found that sketchbook. You realize that I could have saved their lives."
"Stop, Tessa. You're not helping yourself with those thoughts. I don't want to go all psychiatrist on you,
but this wasn't your fault. And as much as I hate it, it was probably inevitable. You didn't know Liam's background any more than I did. Or it seems unlikely that Joel knew that his brother was a pedophile, a sick child molester. If he had known, he would never have allowed him to spend any time around Poppy and Piper. Whenever someone learns about something like this, it always comes as a terrible shock, especially when it's a family member or a close friend. You just don't think that anyone you know could possibly do anything like this. The people who do these things are totally other people, not your friends, relatives, next-door neighbors. But the fact of the matter is that child molesters do not come with horns on their heads or identification tags that read, 'Child molester, stay away.' You are not responsible, Tessa. I want you to remember these words every time you start to think otherwise. You were an excellent mother, Jill insisted. And don't say a word. We will get through this. Together this time. Okay?
I will try. But I can't promise, Tessa told her. Those pictures. I don't understand why they weren't entered into evidence at my trial. Who could have overlooked them? They had ample evidence that Poppy had been molested. It doesn't add up.
Sam placed two tall glasses of iced tea in front of the women who were sitting at the bar.
If these sketchbooks were collected as evidence, we would have known about them during the trial. I doubt that even Michael Chen would stoop so low as to not disclose this kind of exculpating evidence. He's an ass, for sure, but he does follow the rule of law as much as any prosecutor ever does. More importantly, if these drawings had been available to the investigators, I doubt that you would have even been prosecuted. And if he had allowed these drawings to be presented as evidence at the trial, I'm pretty sure your trial would have ended with a not guilty verdict. These drawings would create reasonable doubt in any jury that saw them, especially given the total lack of forensic evidence against you. Lee will jump on this right away.
I agree. These drawings should certainly have been considered, Jill said. Speaking as someone who has given expert testimony many times, I am absolutely certain that no jury seeing them would convict any woman unless there was overwhelming evidence that she murdered the victims. And the one thing that is certain is that there was no such evidence ever presented. Everything was circumstantial at best and pure fantasy at worst. But what I want to know is where were they during the investigation? Tessa, did you take the sketchbooks to San Maribel?
She shook her head.
I took sketchbooks, of course, but I didn't take these. The girls always shared their work with me. It's more than apparent that Poppy hid this particular book away.
Maybe, Jill said.
What do you mean? Tessa took a drink of tea. Her hands were shaky and her stomach churned. She needed to calm herself, so she took a deep breath and released it slowly, just as she had taught herself to do.
Just what I said. Maybe it was Poppy who hid the drawings, and we'll never know where, unless we can locate the person who actually packed up her room. Did she have any hiding spots? Most kids do.
I don't understand, Tessa stated. What are you trying to say?
They weren't discovered during the investigation. It's possible that whoever packed up their rooms found the sketchbooks and packed them away without looking at the contents, which would be perfectly normal, and they have been here all this time.
Jill turned to Sam.
Is it possible to locate the person who packed the rooms?
Sam nodded.
I'll get Darlene to check. If anyone can find out, she can.
A loud knock on the front door silenced them.
Stay here, Sam said. I didn't tell Lee to use the back entrance.
Tessa and Jill did not speak as they waited for Sam to answer the door. Praying it wasn't a member of the press banging on the door, she breathed a sigh of relief when she saw Lee Whitlow enter the kitchen. Chapter 15.
I need to take this to the district attorney's office right away,
Lee Whitlow said after viewing the drawings.
Sam, find out who packed these sketchbooks. I'll want to speak with whoever that is, and I'm sure the DA will too. This sheds a whole new light on your case, Tessa. It's possible if we can locate the person or persons who packed the boxes, and if they can recall exactly where they found the drawings, that there won't even be a need for a trial.
He held up a hand.
I can't guarantee that, but it's entirely possible. How is Harry's team coming along?
Nothing yet, but they're searching the grounds, Sam said. So far, there isn't anything new.
Sam introduced Lee to Jill, and the well-trained attorney didn't miss a beat as he acknowledged her with a quick handshake and a very confident smile.
Tessa, finding the drawings is good for your case. I'm not going to stay now, as I want to get this new information to the DA right away. But I do want to warn you that I have scheduled a meeting with Rosa tonight, 8 o'clock, here at your house. I hope I'm not overstepping my boundaries,
Lee explained. Though Tessa had given him full authority to do whatever he needed, she was surprised at how quickly Lee had arranged the meeting. Using her house as a base for any meeting was for her protection from the media, something that he had told her on his last visit to the prison. She wasn't sure how she felt about Rosa's returning to her home. If it helped locate Liam, or any new evidence to prove her innocence, she would have to deal with the emotional aspect of her housekeeper's betrayal, her not coming forth before the trial, after she heard what Rosa had to say. According to Lee, Rosa was now a legal resident and no longer feared deportation. She had not asked how that came to be, and truly, she didn't care. All she wanted to know was what Rosa had witnessed on the day her family was slaughtered.
No, you're not overstepping any boundaries. I'm grateful, Lee, Tessa told him. If not for you and Sam, I'd still be locked up. I wouldn't have had this second chance. I'll meet with Rosa tonight. Actually, I'm anxious to hear what she has to say.
Good. Then we are all set for this evening. I'll let you know what the district attorney says as soon as I know something concrete,
Lee said, then headed toward the front door.
Go out the back, Sam said. Those damn news hounds are still hanging around.
Good idea. I had to push my way through them just to get past the gates to the community. Let's not alienate them just yet, since we may need to use them to our advantage. I'll see you all later this evening.
Lee disappeared through the back door as fast as he'd entered through the front. Tessa saw that the forensic team was still sifting through dirt, digging up the perfectly maintained lawn, searching for something, anything they deemed possible evidence. She didn't care if they excavated the entire grounds. Actually, if she were to believe Lee and Sam, and she was exonerated, she planned to demolish this entire house. She would sell the lot and move on with her life, at least as much as she could. It would never be the same, but at least she would be in control of her life again.
Do you want me here when Rosa shows up? Jill asked. It might make things easier for both of you.
Unsure, Tessa looked to Sam for direction.
A good idea or not? She asked. Jill knew her too. It might make it a bit easier, but that's not my decision to make, Sam said.
Stay. Tessa decided that having Jill present for the interview with Rosa was best for her, and she didn't care what Rosa felt. Sadly, she had really admired the woman at one time, enough to leave her in charge of her girls. But knowing she might have been witness to what happened to them and had not gone to the authorities, whether she was in the country legally or not, she no longer felt any such admiration.
I'm going to call Darlene, so she can start searching for the person who packed up the house. She wasn't working for Jameson Pharmaceuticals at the time, but she will know how to find out. Be right back,
Sam said, then left her and Jill alone in the kitchen. Neither woman spoke as they waited to make sure he was out of earshot. Jill was the first to speak.
Do you trust him?
She nodded toward the living room, where they heard Sam talking in a hushed voice on the phone to someone Tessa presumed was Darlene.
I do,
very much. He's a good man. I never really gave him much attention when Joel was alive. Once I left Jameson Pharmaceuticals, my entire focus was on the girls, my family. He had been friends with Joel since college. Tessa didn't know why she added that last bit of information, but she needed Jill to know that Sam was legit. Odd that they weren't familiar with one another, as Jill had visited all the time and had attended a few of the dinner parties she had hosted. She felt sure that Sam had been in attendance too, and probably more than once.
"I think I remember him," Jill said, "from a party way back in the day."
"He's a real hunk, don't you think?"
She grinned.
"That's not very appropriate, Tessa. I'm sorry."
Tessa thought him quite easy on the eyes, too, as any woman in her right mind would. Was Jill looking for an introduction? A fix-up? She couldn't remember if that was the right terminology, but it didn't matter. She wasn't going to play matchmaker. Sure that Jill was only trying to lighten the somber atmosphere that hung over all of them. Still, Tessa wasn't sure she liked the idea of Jill and Sam together. As in a couple. He wasn't Jill's type. Or was he? She had been away for a very, very long time. People change.
"What's troubling you?"
Jill asked, going all psychiatrist on her again.
"Shouldn't it be obvious?"
Her life troubled her.
"You of all people should know,"
Tessa said. Her voice sharpened with just the slightest trace of an edge, borderline smartass. Jill drained the last of her tea.
"You would think so, but I am not a mind reader. You'll have to tell me."
No way was she going to reveal her thoughts about her and Sam. Realizing that it was juvenile of her to even be having these thoughts about two people she cared for, she pinched the bridge of her nose, looked at the drops of condensation streaming down her glass, and shook her head side to side.
"We would be here all night and then some if I were to tell you all the raging thoughts going through my head right now. I'm pissed, and trust me, that's putting it nicely, that Rosa kept quiet about whatever it is that she knew. She could have gone to anyone. I doubt they would have asked for her green card. It was wrong, Jill, and you know it. She might have information that could have kept me out of prison for the past 10 years. Wouldn't you feel anger, something, toward the person who might have held your life in their hands and just let it drop, as if it were a worthless piece of nothing?"
"Of course I would.
It's perfectly normal to feel that way. I can't explain the whys of Rosa's behavior, but I do know that fear is a very strong motivating factor for most people. Given the fact that she wasn't in the States legally, in her mind, maybe she thought that what she saw wasn't enough to prove your innocence. So why risk the authorities discovering she was here illegally? I don't know that any of this is true, but it's a good guess. Tessa, they never had any physical evidence against you. All they had was circumstantial. The odds are in your favor now."
Tessa rolled her eyes. Leave it to Jill to try to make sense of Rosa's actions or lack thereof.
"They sure as hell weren't before. And I don't really know that she can offer anything now, at least anything of value."
"With Poppy's drawings, Rosa's coming forth, and the Florida Supreme Court's ruling, I think the advantage is all yours."
"You're afraid, aren't you?" Jill asked.
Afraid was putting it mildly. Night after night, week after week, year after year, she had spent most of her days and nights reliving what she should have done. What she could have done to save her daughters. Visions of them lying in the pool and all that blood tormented her. Joel was not Joel, even in death.
It had taken her almost 3 full years after their murders to regain her memory of that day. The bits and pieces that hovered on the edge of her consciousness had been enough. Then the full memory of finding them that day exploded in her mind, like a million fireworks going off, and she had lost it for a while. But somehow she had managed to push the memories into a place in her mind that was safe, and any hope of ever proving her innocence was lost. She had learned to get through each day minute by minute, and planned her eventual death. And now she knew it wasn't meant to be.
"Tessa," Jill said, "are you all right?"
"Sorry, I'm not used to this," she waved her hand. "Freedom, conversations, normal people. However, I heard your question, and yes, I am afraid. I have been since May 4th, 2011. Sam chose that moment to return to the kitchen.
"Darlene contacted the company that packed up the house. Luck is on our side. Apparently, the owner's nephew was working for the company at the time. Said he remembered the day well because he'd heard about the murders. Darlene has arranged for him to come to the house tonight. I called Lee. He'll be here to question him. He will come before Rosa gets here."
"That's excellent news," Jill said. "Tessa, are you good with this?" She sighed. "Yes. If it helps find out what happened to my family, do whatever you have to. I would like to talk to him, too. I never came back to the house once I was taken into custody and arrested. It's so damned bizarre. I'm asking strangers to remember what they might have seen in my child's bedroom when I should have known. I hope he can help." Tessa suddenly felt overwhelmed. The day had been emotionally exhausting, and it was just beginning.
"It was big news here. So if this man says he remembers packing the rooms, I'm guessing he has information of some value. As you said, you never came back to the house after your arrest," Sam said. "You were in shock. You wouldn't have recalled anything standing out."
Tessa thought about this. Sam was right again. "I have tried over the years. Nothing other than..." She stopped. "I'd just lost my family. I only recall the blood. Their bodies." Jill placed her hand on top of Tessa's.
"I can't even begin to imagine. If you were a patient, and you're not, plus, I have never treated anyone who has lost their family in such a horrific manner, but if I had, I would tell them whenever a memory of a tragedy overcomes them, try to consciously replace it with something positive, a special memory, one that brought joy. One that makes one smile."
"Makes perfect sense. I have tried over the years, and I recall dozens of special times with the girls and Joel. But returning to this house, it's hard not to think of why I had to leave in the first place." Tessa thought at least she could now say this without crying. That was an improvement. But her anger seethed with a mounting rage so strong it frightened her. She remembered the 5 stages of grief she had read about in so many books during her prison stay. Denial, anger, bargaining, depression, and acceptance. She would never accept what had happened to her family. Though she could acknowledge the loss for what it was, there was no way in hell she would get past the anger. She could tuck it away in that safe place, as she had taught herself, but never could she obliterate it completely. In her mind, the murders had never been solved, and until that rotten bastard Liam was put to rest, she knew that her anger would continue to play an active role in the person she had become. It was as much a part of her as her eye color, the shape of her hands, the curve of her hips.
Her gaze darkened with the pain of the past decade, and Tessa knew happiness would not come easily, if at all. She focused her attention on Jill. I wish it were as easy as you say. Then my life would be tolerable. But it isn't. And all the happy thoughts and memories of the past will never change the images burned in my mind. I will try, though. I promise. When Liam is... She had almost made a slip of the tongue and said dead, but caught herself. Brought to justice. Yes, that sounded better. And she really hadn't had time to plan, to plot what she would do when she located him. And there was no doubt in her mind that she would find him, no matter what she had to do. If she went back to prison, so be it. At least she would know her children and husband's murderer would pay for the crime he had committed against them. At that very moment, Sam's cell phone started to ring.
Yes,
he said. Tessa and Jill listened to his end of the conversation.
That's encouraging, Lee. I'll tell this to Tess,
Sam said, then disconnected the call.
Lee spoke with Michael Chen. He's agreed to look at Poppy's drawings. If this packing guy has anything to add, he's also said he would listen to what he had to say.
Listening and doing something about it are two different things, Tessa said. It doesn't mean he'll do anything yet.
He won't have any choice if there's new evidence that wasn't presented at trial,
Sam said.
Evidence of value, he added.
Those drawings are vital. I'll stake my professional reputation on it, Jill said.
Make sure and tell Lee to say so to the DA, Jill added. She then said her goodbyes as she had to get back to her office and catch up on paperwork. Once she'd left, Tessa and Sam sat together quietly for a few moments before Tessa said, Thank you, Sam. I appreciate all you and Lee are doing. I just hope it's worth all the time and effort you have put into my case, no matter what the outcome.
You have thanked us more than enough. We need to get down to business. Get this case resolved.
Tessa was about to respond when a knock on the sliding glass doors interrupted her. Chapter 16. What did you find? Tessa asked after letting Harry inside. Her tone was doubtful.
A bone, Harry said. I believe it's the proximal phalange, the bone closest to the hand. Index finger, from the looks of it. The pristine condition surprised me. Florida's heat. Though that's not always a consideration with bones. But still, one has to take the elements into account.
Give me your unofficial report, Sam said.
In layman's terms, I'd say the finger was sliced off. The bone is sharp, sliced clean where it shouldn't be. There is no sign of a break. It belonged to a fairly young person, most likely a male.
What does this mean? Tessa asked Harry.
We don't know yet, but we're working on it. We'll extract DNA from that bone, and possibly we can find out who it belonged to, decide if it's relevant to your case.
What is that supposed to mean? You don't think this is an important find? Tessa asked.
It's very important, Harry replied. The only problem is matching the DNA. It could be some random find. A fisherman whacks off his finger cleaning a fish. The finger winds up in the soil, though who knows by what means, and we have found it. A drug dealer in a speedboat tosses out a finger he's removed from a rat, and, hoping to hide all traces, it winds up here.
It's a good find, Tess, said Sam.
But only if we can match it to someone in your family, which we know isn't going to happen since Laura has all of her fingers, and Harry said it was most likely from a male.
Why wasn't this discovered before? Tessa asked. I don't get it.
I don't know, Tess, Sam said.
As soon as Harry examines them, we'll know how long they have been here.
It's more good news, Tess.
A finger is one thing, but several bones? That's a whole different ballgame.
We have to have a match, right? I'd like to know where to start, she said. Sam seemed to consider her question.
Family first. I'm going to have Lee call Rochelle, Sam told her. Excuse me.
I have to head out as well, Harry said, and head back to the lab.
Tessa waited a moment after both men had departed before she called Jill to fill her in on these latest developments.
You think she knows more than she testified to during the trial?
Jill asked once Tessa had explained everything. Tessa nodded.
Darned right I do. There is no way in hell she would sit idly by, waiting all these years without knowledge of his whereabouts.
He's her only son. She's well-financed, he's well-financed. Enough to take care of him for the rest of his life. That old saying, money talks and bullshit walks, would apply to the two of them. I never knew her well, but I did know, according to Joel, that she was a good mother and that Liam was the light of her life.
And all these years he's been off the radar?
Yep. All those investigators Randall had searching for him, or at least that's what he told me. And I have my doubts, but nevertheless, I would have thought they could have located him, but nothing. When people don't want to be found, they can make it happen. I learned this in prison from women who sounded like they knew what they were talking about. I feel sure he's living a life of luxury, probably lounging on some exotic beach as we speak, all courtesy of his mother, since he has never touched a penny of his trust fund hoard.
He's a low-life son of a bitch, Tessa said, doing nothing to hide the hate in her voice.
Any man who touches a child is beyond low. Below whale crap, if you ask me. I see a lot of kids in my practice. Their lives were ruined by these sick-ass perverts. Of course I can't say this to them or to the family members, but it's rare when a child overcomes this type of tragedy.
So you think Poppy and Piper would have been ruined? Tainted for the rest of their lives? I thought you told me they would be all right with therapy.
Her voice rose a notch. I think your girls were strong, Tessa. Like you. They kept their abuse secret for a long time. When I spoke to them, they didn't act like your typical victims. They knew that what had happened to them was a very bad thing. They also knew that telling you was the right thing to do, even though they'd been terrified. And justifiably so. Poppy was very angry, as she should have been. Piper was, I think she was more damaged. But with your love and support and intense therapy, I think they would have been okay as adults.
We'll never know, will we? Tessa asked, and felt another round of tears fill her eyes. She wiped them with the cloth napkin and blew her nose. All these years I have beat myself up, over and over, wondering how I could have been so stupid, so blind. It was more than obvious they were suffering. Afraid, as they reverted to their 5-year-old patterns of behavior. I will never forgive myself. Jill cleared her throat.
It wasn't your fault. You know that. Joel wasn't aware of what they were going through either.
I realize I don't have children of my own, but I work with all kinds of abused children of all ages, and more often than not, the parents blame themselves. Unless it's actually a parent doing the abuse, it's not their fault, not your fault. Your case is unlike any I have dealt with. You were whisked away. Tried and convicted by a system so convinced they had the right person that they never bothered with a serious criminal investigation. They wanted this case out of the news.
And why?
There was no evidence against me, Tessa said, her anger causing her pulse to race.
Your trip to San Maribel? The large insurance policy Joel had taken out, plus the company. You planned the trip so quickly, the media thought you had a lover, had something to hide.
They found you in the pool with their bodies.
You wouldn't speak to the police once they arrested you. In their minds, this was a perfect case of circumstantial evidence. There was no DNA, nothing to connect you to this crime. You had no obvious defensive wounds. Anyone in their right mind should have known you were innocent.
This isn't a large town. Lots of local ass-kissers in the political field. Michael Chen wanted your ass on a platter, and he got what he wanted. When you refused to speak, it sealed your fate. And now it just might be the key to overturning your conviction, getting all charges dropped.
This is all good, Tessa. Despite the past 10-plus years, you're still young. You can have a full life.
Don't you even dare say I can have another family. I cannot and will never have children again, no matter what the court decides.
I know you feel that way now, but I say never say never.
Let's not talk about this, okay? Please? Tessa begged. Yes, she knew she was just young enough to start over and have a family again, but she would never betray Joel and the girls.
Fair enough. But it's going to come up in the next few days. Just do what you have to in order to prepare yourself. Michael Chen and the local police are going to do their best to convict you again, regardless of what the Florida Supreme Court says. An exoneration, or perhaps worse for them, having the charges dismissed because the investigation your private detectives are doing turns up evidence of your innocence, and someone else's guilt would embarrass them no end. Expose their utter incompetence. And let's not forget the media. This is fodder for all the new crime shows on demand near every local and cable channel.
Just know you can come to me anytime, okay? I'm with you every step of the way. I appreciate your sticking by me, especially after the way I treated you. Denying your visits, refusing your letters. When I was locked up, I just wanted that to be my life. I'd accepted it, and I still do. But now there's a light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe. And I want to move past this. But it's hard, Jill. Harder than my life before. You know, when I was a kid in and out of foster homes, that was a breeze compared to losing my family.
Of course it was,
Jill said, her voice soothing. Before Tessa could respond, Sam returned to the kitchen again. Tessa quickly ended her call with Jill so she could listen to Sam's update.
Harry's expecting the new bones. Apparently, there are quite a few of them, though not large. Pieces.
What does this mean? Tessa asked. The pieces part. Sam raked his hand through his mussy hair.
Just that. The bones are small, in tiny pieces. Hard to say if they're human just yet, though the tech is pretty sure they are. They're taking them to Harry now. I spoke with Lee, and he has spoken to Rochelle and arranged for her to meet him in his office first thing tomorrow morning.
Tessa felt a strong surge of irritation. Rochelle's son killed her family. Why would she be so quick to involve herself in the case again? Did she think she could get more money out of Jameson Pharmaceuticals? Or was this her way of playing the role of grieving mother as she had for a decade? Keep the investigation away from Liam. Tessa didn't know what to say, as she had not expected Rochelle to comply so easily. But she was sure the woman had ulterior motives.
Tess? Sam coaxed. Are you good with this?
No, I'm not. Her lousy piece of garbage son ruined my life, took my family's lives. Of course I'm not good with